Sunday, January 25th, Shvat. What's today in Shvat? I need a calendar for my desk. That's the next project. Shvat 5. Hey Shvat, 25 January. Shar HaBitochon. We are up to the fourth shir in Shar HaBitochon in this series. Sunday afternoon, Lady Shir Chavis Halavas. Fourth shir in Shar HaBitochon. 5775, January 25th, Hey Shvat.
Okay. The fourth shir in Shar HaBitochon. We're in the psicha. We define bitachon because we don't define bitachon. You can talk a lot about it, and then one day you realize you don't know what the word means exactly. So we're defining it as relying on Hashem. It's easy to remember it by remembering the point that the Chavis HaLovitz makes, although in a slightly different context than I'm making it, which is to define the word. But he makes the point that we always rely on something. Anything we do, when we cross the street, when we go to the store, anything we do, we're relying on something. We're relying on the driver, we're relying on the manufacturer, we're relying on the Makolas guy, we're relying on the bank president, we're relying on the Kaskomat machine, we're relying on our body to function the way we would expect it to function. The Kohen teaches us that although Hashem is invisible and we don't see him, and it looks like a world of cause and effect outside of Hashem, that's what it looks like. But you learn that the only source of reliance is actually to rely on Hashem. And that's what Bitachon, that's a Shara Bitachon, is a workbook training us, teaching us, taking us through the steps. This is how you develop Bitachon in Hashem. This is how you develop your mindset that when you're waiting for a bus, you're not relying on Eged to send the bus on time, according to their schedule, but you're relying on Hashem to make that happen. And as I say many, many times, it's not a question of frumkeit, it's a question of, this is the reality. And you know, if someone starts to argue and this and that, she says, wait a second. Could something happen in the world that's not Hashem's will? Ah, Chassid Shalom, of course not. So then, we talk on it's just a natural totsa'ah, a natural ramification of that yisod, that when you're confronted with that sentence, everybody would say that sentence. So the Chavis HaLovitz in the Psicha wants to tell us how beneficial Bitachon is, because he starts with saying that the reason he puts it after Avodas Elokim is because it's the most necessary midah to be Oved Hashem properly. The overriding benefit of all the benefits he's going to detail with different nuances, physical, spiritual benefits, and physical benefits, temporal benefits, but the overriding theme and common denominator is that you're not stressed and you're not worried and you outsourced it to Hashem, and it's not your burden anymore. It's not your headache. Surely wouldn't mind my using this as a marshal. Everybody knows Dr. Bliss, the male Dr. Bliss just went to America, and they're switching off now. And they're very sensitive people. It's maybe a backlash and horror, but they are troubled by, I don't know if I would be, it's a very big madrega, they're troubled by the fact that someone has to die for them to have the Yeshua. That's where the Yeshua is going to come from. So I said to them, you know, that's not your burden. You're not killing anyone. The people are going to die anyway. I mean, why take on a burden that's not yours? You have enough burdens on your head from this whole ASIC. Why take on a burden that's not yours? This is not your burden. You're not killing anyone. You're not hoping someone dies. I mean, even if you would hope someone died. I mean, you're not really hoping someone hoping someone filled out a donor card, you know, and checked it off. That's what you're hoping for. I mean, why do I say this? Because Bitachon really tells us nothing is our burden. That's what Hashlecham Hashem Yehovcha means. The famous, I don't know famous, but the so on the mark bullseye marshal of the Dugna Magid is the fellow's walking along. Hashlecham Hashem Yehovcha, the pasuk says, and Yehovcha, I mean, you know, throw upon Hashem your burden. And he has a marshal of a person trudging along in the heat, carrying a 50, you know, a 40-pound burden, and he's trudging along, and he's sweating. He's, you know, it's not easy. It's hard. A wagon pulls up, and the marshal, now we say a Lexus, air-conditioned Lexus, and the guy gives him a ride. Wonderful, Baruch Hashem. He takes him in the car, and he turns around after 5 minutes of driving. He sees the guy still sweating. The guy's like has his 40 pounds on his back. What's the matter with you? Like, why are you doing that? I gave you a ride. He goes, listen, you gave me a ride, and I appreciate it, and thank you so much. I figured the least I can do is, you know, I should take on the burden of the package. Why should you have to carry that also? And of course, the foolishness is that the guy's carrying it anyway. Who's carrying the 40 pounds in the car? All you're doing is taking on an extra burden on yourself. I'm really carrying it anyway. So the Maga says, that's Hashem. Hashem is the driver, and he's giving us a ride, and we're just, like, we feel like we're worried and we're carrying this burden. We're not talking about dealing with the issues that come up in life. You have to deal with them. You have to deal with them. And you have to deal with them with chachma and with zrizus and with pikchus, and you have to take care of things, and you have to be on top of things. Sometimes it's ishtadlus, sometimes it's not even ishtadlus, it's just more basic common sense that you have to deal with things. But the worry, that's why the Chavis HaLava stresses that. It's such an insight into Bitachon. The worry and the, it's not your burden. It's not your burden. And the Maggid says that's everything in life. It's not your burden. Hashem's carrying you anyway. You're sitting in a car driven by Hashem, and you're holding a 40-pound package on your back, and you're schwitzing because you're saying, oh, poor Hashem, the least I can do, and Hashem works so hard, the least I can do is carry this package. He's carrying it anyway. All you're doing is giving yourself a 40-pound burden. That's all you're doing. And that's what the Chaim Lelovitz puts the thrust of Bitachon in, calmness and stress-free. And this is the Madrega. This is at the end of the day when you are Konen Midas Bitachon. It's not easy. It's very, very difficult. Very difficult. Okay, so he's telling us the benefits of Bitachon. It's just an advertisement. He wants us to work on Bitachon because it's so worthwhile. It says that the most necessary thing to hold is Hashem. So he says, well, let me list you the benefits of Bitachon. Number one, we defined it because we first list the spiritual benefits, and number one is that you're living with Hashem. You're close to Hashem. You're always thinking about Hashem. You feel like Hashem is guiding you. You feel like Hashem is running your life. You know, you're not in control. Hashem's in control. And you feel like he's driving the car. You really feel that. It's palpable. And then he says, and this is what we, this is how I explain the Chavis HaLavos, this is how I understand the Chavis HaLavos, and then as a ramification of that, I would even say, you stand the best chance of getting what you think is good. Certainly Hashem's not going to do for you what's not good for you. You can daven from today till tomorrow. And you could, you know, it's not going to happen if it's not good for you. If it's not good for you. Now Hashem could maneuver that a lot of not good things, you know, shouldn't be detrimental to you. You know, if Hashem wants to make me a millionaire, you know, I can deal with that. I think, you know something? Plenty of people have said that and then have won the lottery and then have ruined their lives. I mean, statistics show a very high percentage of lottery winners have their lives ruined. But in all seriousness, your best chance of getting it is bitachon. I think that's what Chavir Lovis is saying, because Hashem is going to watch over you and maneuver that you don't get caught in the trap. And but if you don't have bitachon in Hashem, Hashem lets matters take their course, and you know, and then things happen that might not have happened. Again, Hashem will never do what's bad for you. And sometimes Hashem does inexplicable things that we just don't understand. And we have to summon up our emunah. Like, I don't know, right? We have to summon up our emunah. We have to just... But that's rare. That's rare. I have to say, I don't want to... we're not in a good situation. I mean, it's becoming less there. There's a terror attack virtually every day. Whether you read about it or not, or you report it or not, things are really spiraling downhill very fast. I say because of a lack of bitachon. I mean, not on my part, you know, I'm nothing to write home about, but we're talking about the Chalias. Like, you see, the Chalias royal, it's no different than at the time of the end of the first Beis HaMikdash, when the government was relying on Mitzrayim. And Hashem punished Mitzrayim for that, because they were the mikshol to Bnei Yisrael. And he punished them, and he punished Bnei Yisrael. He said, you know, you don't have to be tougher than me, okay, you'll have to be tougher than Mitzrayim, and look where it will get you. Which was happening before our very eyes. And so that's the first benefit. The benefit itself is a spiritual benefit. He spends most of the time, though, describing how as I phrase it, it's your best bet of getting what you would like, because unless it's really detrimental, and Hashem wants us to feel good. Hashem wants us to have happy lives, good lives, things that make us feel good. Hashem likes that. Hashem's not out to get us. When he does, just think of yourself as parents. That's all you have to do to have a glimpse of Darkei Hashem. You know, you want to give your kid what he wants, and he wants to eat a cookie before supper. You know, if it's not really going to ruin his appetite, so you let him, because you love him and you want him to feel good, and you let him have the cookie. But if the dentist said no, or you know it'll ruin his appetite, or you know if he goes to sleep late, he's going to be a mess the next day. So of course you're not going to do it, no matter how much you love him. In fact, your love for him will make you say no, while he's yelling and screaming how mean you are and how he hates you. But if you can do it, you're going to do it, right? We do that, and even if it's not so good, but we do it because, you know, Mr. Shem, it'll be good, and I'll make it good, and I'll help it be good, and I'll see that it's good, and I'll watch over him, you know, because I want him to smile. I want to see that smile on his face. That's how it should be. If not, you got to go to parenting classes or Bubby classes. My wife goes to Bubby classes now. Spetner gives Bubby classes one night a week. He goes to Bubby classes.
Give the class.
I don't know. Nah, she's too easy. She doesn't listen to me. I'm the tough guy. Anyway, she also wants insight into teenagers now. So that part of that is the teenage years. Because we're starting to be Bubby insight into teenagers. And it's going to help her, Mr. Shem, in a new career also, having insight into teenagers. Anyway, so that was benefit number one. Benefit number two was that you're free. It's such a wonderful insight into bitachon. You're free to live the life you want to lead. Now, of course, we're talking about Pitorah, but it doesn't even occur to Chavis HaLodos that you want to live a life of gayers, of non-obedience to Hashem. There's so much in life within, you know, people who say that Orthodox Jews are robotic have no idea what life is. They don't know how many choices there are, how wide a range there is of the type of life people could lead. I mean, it's limitless. You could do anything from A to Z, right? An astrophysicist, and nowadays a woman can be anything she wants to be. You know, the world has changed, and the Torah world has recognized that. As long as she keeps her primary role as primary, which is being a mother and a wife, really a wife and a mother. The wife is primary and the mother is secondary, although people don't like to hear that. but it is true. And then after that, if she can manage that, then she can do anything she wants nowadays. It's not seen as a breach of tzniyus. The very fact that she's doing something, I mean, the very fact that she has a career, and she's an astrophysicist, or, you know, whatever she wants to be. You're free. You're free and bitachon. You're not afraid of your boss. You're not afraid to take a stand and be principled. You're not, you know, within the bounds of hishtablus, of course. If a person decides he wants to learn in the morning and start working in the afternoon, within the bounds of hishtablus, you can do it. Oh, so people are going to look at me as funny. What's going to be with Shidduchim? They're going to think I'm about Shulah, you know, whatever crazy thoughts people have. And they do have, you know, if I wear, I really feel I should wear Tchelis. But you know, if I wear Tchelis, you know, I'm not going to get a good Shidduch. And don't, please, people mamish, think that way about many, many, many things. I'm talking about if you are convinced that the Tchelis is correct. You know, when you have bitachon, you do it. You're independent. It's really a wonderful insight into bitachon, that you're free. You're free from caring what people think of you. Again, within the bounds of hishtablus, but we're talking about being principled and having your own values and living the life you want to live. I told you this lady in Australia, the head of the hospice, found that. She was in a hospice for 10 years and she kept notes, and she took notes and she wrote a book, The 10 Things People Regret Most When They're About to Die, and they know they're about to die. And number one, far and away, was that they didn't leave the life that they wanted to lead. They lived the life that other people expected them to lead. That was their major regret in life, which is like so, it's really so sad, very, very sad. Far and away, she said, like more than twice as many people as whatever was in second place. Number three is, number one is, you're living with Hashem. Number two is, you're free to be obeyed Hashem the way you want to. Someone wants to become a breslover, as long as they don't ask me if they should do it or not, they're free to be a breslover. And they're free, they shouldn't stare at it, they shouldn't say, what's going to be, people are going to say this. If you feel that's where your avodas Hashem lies, and that's where you Go for it. Mommy. And that's what bitachon does for you. That's what bitachon does for you. Number three is, you're stress-free, and therefore you're free to serve Hashem. In number three, he's saying you're free to serve Hashem because you're not worried. You're not worried you're going to miss a phone call. You're not worried you're not going to have parnasa. Again, within the bounds of hishtadlus. But there's so much, once you make your hishtadlus, once you figure out what hishtadlus demands, then, you know, you're worried. You're worried you're going to lose customers. You're worried. You're worried about so many things. He says, stress-free. You libo ponui la'avodas Hashem. You don't spend your day worrying. You're not worried about your children even. Don't worry about your children so much. Parents worry too much about their children. I'm a laissez-faire. Laissez-faire. If they need you, you're there for them. Leave them alone. My daughter one afternoon experimented. My daughter lives in Beit Shemesh. Okay, it was fine. The kid, you know, long afternoon, it was raining, I don't know, forgot already. So instead of like, okay, thinking of something for them to do, she said, Mommy's going to sit on the couch and read a book. You figure out what to do. And had a blast. They figured out what to do. I think they painted the wall. Great.
I don't understand this idea of freedom because
number two,
a person can be free to do what he believes.
That's number two.
Number two, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
There are certain norms, and even though a person feels that's the way Hashem is directing me and that's where I should go, you can't allow society to.
Right, you can't allow society to think that. Let's talk about, we're talking about within the bounds of Torah, of course, right? Talking about someone wants to become Hasidish. Someone wants to become Hasidish. Someone wants to become Hasidish. Or a chassid wants to become a misnaget. Or someone wants to go to a tichoni high school and will stay from. We're not talking about someone that's young and immature and can't make mature decisions and will just do what he wants in that sense. And an older, wiser, more experienced person will say that's not a good idea. Meretnishvek and them. We're not talking about that. We're talking about believe me, this lady in the show, he was right. Most adults, mature, experienced, are afraid to do where they feel their destiny lies, where they feel they will grow the most, because they're afraid what people will say.
Yeah, but that impinges on the rest of your family. Say somebody wants to go out and live in some deserted area because they believe that's where they can become close to God.
Yeah.
Their family just go ahead and live, you know, whatever they do. You can't be so
that's
sure about their family.
And therefore he has to ask a Shiloh. But you didn't, that's not a becoming issue. It's not because he's afraid he won't do shidduchim.
He should. Chavis,
no. That's what the Chavis Hold Office is saying. No.
How can you be so irresponsible about
it? It's not irresponsible. That's the point, you see? That's the point. You're right. If your family will be miserable because they hate living there because there's only a bus once every 4 hours and there's no running water, there's outhouses. So you're right. Of course you have to take your family into cheshbon. But that's not a bitachon issue. That's a practical issue. You have to take other people into account. But if you're afraid what people will say about you, and therefore your husband won't get a job as a Rebbe, or therefore your kids won't do shidduchim, or they won't get accepted, you know how many people live a life because their child should be accepted in a certain school? I have this all the time. I get... It's terrible. It's a tragedy. And they don't have a tough one. They don't have a tough one. I'm sorry. It's not easy to have bitachon. I'm not condemning anyone, right? I found out recently that I don't have bitachon. But it's hard. But we're learning the Chesed Olos now.
And then your kids are not accepted, and you don't get the shidduchim.
Hashem will not let anything bad happen to you. That's it. This is it. That's what we're learning. Thank you. Really? That's what we're learning. No. This is it's very hard to develop bitachon. It's very, very hard. I'm no better than you. I worry we're learning the Sefer. We're trying to be better. We're trying to develop bitachon. He's going to teach us how to develop it. It's structured like a workbook, a workshop. Perek Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet Hei Vav Zayin takes you through the steps of developing bitachon. It's a how-to book. I used to have a car. It's a, what's that book called that all the mechanics have? Chilton's. Chilton's teaches you how to fix every car. You look up every car, what year, what kind of engine. It's a Chilton's. This is a Chilton's for bitachon. That's what it is.
But it's well known that kids don't.
What?
It's well known that kids don't get into school if the parents don't toe the line.
If that happens, then it's good for them not to be in that school. 1,000%. 1,000%. And again, we're talking about don't toe the line where they want to live differently. We're not talking about going outside the gevulim of Torah, right?
No.
We're talking about wearing tefillos. Well, the mother wants to wear a tefillah, not a shekel. Nothing wrong with shekel. Well, my wife wears a shekel. Nothing I can do about it. For 1 year, I had a happy marriage. Yeah, you go to the interview with a tefillah, and they're not going to take your kid into that school. That's what the Chazal is talking about. You rely on Hashem that your kid will be fine wherever he ends up, or she ends up. Yes, yeah. If you're doing it for good reasons. If you have a good reason. And that's, you know, the Chavis of Others devotes an entire Shar to this point. Shar Yichud HaMaaseh, which comes after Shar HaBitachon, is a Shar devoted that our only motivation in life should be what Hashem wants, not what people want, not what people expect, not what people think. That the whole Shara is about that and how to develop that mindset, because it's very, very hard. I'll be the first to say so. It's very, very hard. One of the lucky things in my life is that the shul is not my parnasa. So I don't have to care what the shul thinks of me when I do things. I don't have that nisayon. I lose money on the deal. I don't have any sign. I have a parnasa for Hashem, and this is not my parnasa, and it's very liberating. And I can do things and say things without caring. So find me. I don't care. Doesn't matter. I don't mind. It's fine. It happened. Yeah.
If my child doesn't get into the school that I want them to get into, and I'm disappointed. Is that just completely a lack of bitachon, like being disappointed?
Being disappointed is not a lack of bitachon. Being disappointed is a lack of hakara that everything Hashem does is for the good. It's a different nuance. It's a different nuance. Did you say feel bad? Was that your lashon?
Disappointed.
What was your lashon?
Disappointed.
No, you're disappointed, I think, is a normal emotion. You're disappointed, but you're not going to dwell on it. You're not going to get upset. You're not going to start talking lashon hara. You're not going to start going crazy over it. You're not going to lose sleep over it. I think I'm trying to be precise. Disappointment is, you know, like something hurts, you know, it hurts. You're disappointed. You wanted something, you didn't get it, so you're disappointed. How do you cope with disappointment? By realizing that it's Hashem, and it's Hashem only does good things, and it's good for you not to get into the school. That's why you have to look at it. And that's why people don't do that. That's why they walk around upset and angry, and they end up talking lashon hara in the school, and the school is up talking lashon hara about them. And this is what happens in the real world. It's very sad. If once it's hoch, maybe Hashem just wants you to work harder at getting them in, I don't know, but once it's hoch, like they're not going there, yes, a Baal Bitachon says, I am relying on Hashem to take care of my child, and I am sure that it's better for my child to go to a different school. In that alternate life, they might have, I mean, if you want to imagine, they might have picked up a friend that was like, terrible. You don't know, Hashem is running the way. Rely on Hashem. That's what we're being taught, how to do it. We're not going to get up to how to do it for a few weeks, so it's going to seem like an unattainable ideal dream for tzaddikim and chassidim. It's like when you start learning Hilchos Lashon Hara, you know, it seems like an unattainable goal. So one day we're going to get to the how-to, which starts with Derek Aleph. You know, now it's the learning the psicha. But that is the idea, yes. But again, to be precise, you know, if you feel disappointed, that's normal. You know, I'm not disappointed. I wanted something for my birthday and I didn't get it, so I'm disappointed. I cope with it by saying it's good for me not to have it. I firmly believe it's good for me not to have it. I'm sure, and I'm relying on it. That's come to the table, or call my David Rahman al Tad of it. And then I say, bitachon is, I don't have to lose sleep or obsess over what's going to be with my child. I'm relying on Hashem to take care of my child. And to just go back to the Dubna Magid, which is such a beautiful marshal, he's taking care of her anyway. All I'm doing is I'm sitting in the back of the car. Yeah, keep that image in your mind. I'm sitting in the back of the Lexus and I'm holding the package on my shoulder. That's so silly. Okay. Number three is libo bonoi la'avodas Hashem, because you're not stressed, you're not worried about missing a phone call, etc., etc. And then he goes all sort of on a tangent. No, not really. He says, you know how much menuchas nefesh a baal bitachon has? More menuchas nefesh than a person with a limitless supply of money, which he describes as the alchemist, someone who could create money. So you think, you know, anytime you need money, you go down to the basement, turn on the machine, imagine a counterfeiter, and you go down to the you don't bother counterfeiting shekalim, you know, they counterfeit dollars. And it's harder to counterfeit now, they made new dollars. But that's what he says. Now we're going to learn through the 10 things, 10 ways in which a Baal Bitachon is less stressed than the alchemist, the person who can produce money at will. You know, again, if you want to imagine, you can make your own imagination, the least stressed person in the world. But I think the Chazalot is pretty much on the mark. You know, my kid can't get into a school. If I have a limitless supply of money, I'll just build my own school. People are not going to come. I'll pay them to come. I'll pay them 10,000, right? A limitless supply of money. That's how we think. Oh, that person doesn't have to worry about anything. They can do anything. Right? They can do anything. They just, money is no object. Chazalot says, you know, when you stop and think, there are 10 things the alchemist has to worry about. And the Baal Bitachon does it. Now, in learning what we're going to learn, remind me next Sunday, not to start at the beginning again, but to start where we're up to. I give you permission to interrupt me and say, don't go back to the beginning again. We're never going to get anywhere. Start where you're up to. Make believe we were listening and that we remember them. Just start from the word you're up to. Please, I'm giving you all permission, because I tend to do this. Because I want to give the thing in perspective, but it's wrong. I end up taking up the whole class doing that, and now we're ready to move on. We were up to, and it's a half hour out of a 45-minute class. I feel it's worthwhile, but I have to stop doing it, really. In doing this, the Chabad Lubavitch will sound like he's issuing guarantees and telling you, you will for sure not be hungry. You will for sure be healthy. You will for sure have friends. You will for sure... He doesn't mean that. He can't mean that. He doesn't mean that. That's what I hold. Learning it, he sounds like he's saying that. He wants to show the all-encompassing nature of bitachon. If bitachon makes you not worried, you're not going to be worried about your health. And again, I'm not talking about hishtadlus taking care of your health. I'm talking about not being worried about it. Not being worried about friends. Not being worried about yiduchim. Not being worried about parnasa. And all these things the alchemist does have to worry about. So he's saying, in effect, take the least stressed person in the world, and when you stop and think, he has 10 things to worry about still. And the Baal Bitachon will not worry about these 10 things. Number one is, the alchemist still needs raw materials, even if he's producing money, right? Even if you have Bill Gates' cash card for ATM machine, yeah? You still need the ATM machine to work. You go there, it swallows up the card, it doesn't work. It's not going to help you that you have Bill Gates' credit card for the machine. You need it to work. You need the raw materials. Shabbat HaKima, that's the alchemist, Sarek L'Dvarim Yuchodim L'Mlocha. He needs something that he has to worry about. He should have. In the alchemist's case, he needs the raw materials. But again, whatever you imagine, someone who has everything and doesn't have to worry, he always needs something. He needs, you know, what is the alchemist going to do if there's a dock strike in Israel? Finished, right? He ain't having money for the next 2 months. Right? Because his raw materials are in the port. And they're not letting it through. And he ran out of money to bribe them to let it through. He can't do anything without the raw materials. But the Mateach Elokim has whatever he needs. Careful, he talks about Parnaso, Mustachlo. He uses the word Mustachlo. Again, it's Mustachlo unless it's mamish bad for him, for some reason. We don't know why. But, you know, Pseches Yudefa must be a whole Chayrotzon. People have parnosa, people survive. Even people that don't have parnosa survive. In our experience, nobody's starving in the street. Maybe they take stuff away. I don't know. But Hashem provides for everyone. Pseches Yudefa must be a whole Chayrotzon. There's a Cheshbon in Shemayim taking care of everyone. Yes, there are people in the Sahara, the Sudan, who are starving to death. That's unusual. There's a Cheshbon there. It's not because Hashem forgot about them, Chas v'Shalom, or Hashem can't provide for them. There's something, you know, whatever it is. You know, but in our world, we have to talk about it, right? It doesn't happen. So you don't have to worry about... You don't have to worry. You don't have to worry, okay, Hashem's going to give me parnasa, but I have to worry about what job I'm going to have. I have to worry about if my boss is going to like me. I have to worry about... No. You don't have to worry. Hashem's going to take care of everything. Bitachon is all encompassing. You worry about doing a good job.
That you have to do a good job.
That's the only thing you have to worry about. You got a good night's sleep the night before, and you had a good breakfast, or you keep up with the latest advances in the field, that you have to do. That's what you have to do. And you shouldn't worry about that either. Again, we're talking about worry. So really what I said is a non sequitur. Because we're talking about worry. So he says, Mateach Elokim tearful muftako because he doesn't have to worry about how he's going to get it. Hashem covers everything. You're having parnasa not through lechem, you're having parnasa through motzah pi Hashem. So motzah pi, and that's talking about the mon grada, which is this week. Everybody's looking forward to Tuesday, Tuesday, Parshas B'Shalach, Parshas Amon. Mishmaru says you should say it every day. problem is he didn't use the word segula. I actually think he does use the word segula. But, okay. Ki asibu senim nitzoros mi mandu b'chalezul chalmokom. It's all encompassing. Hashem, nothing will stand in the way of Hashem. Something can stand in the way of the alchemist, and therefore he has to worry about it. But nothing is going to stand in the way of Hashem, obviously. So your bitachon covers everything. Sometimes we say, okay, Hashem is going to need the parnasa, but I'm still worried about how. How's it going to happen? Yeah, I truly believe Hashem's going to send the shidduch. But like, I'm worried about how. I'm not worried about shidduch, yeah, sure, but I'm worried about how. Hashem's going to take care of how also. I always wondered why the Chavis Halvolos chooses to pick Nisan Galuyan, which we, you know, which doesn't happen nowadays. The answer is, everyone doesn't have to prove to us that Hashem is Kol Yachol, I hope. We know that Nisan Galuyan don't happen because we're not worthy of them. Not because Hashem got weaker, Chas V'Shalom, Chas V'Shalom, right? You know, after the, we'll call it after the Churban by Hashem. Chas V'Shalom, right? So he's bringing out Nisan because we believe that the Nisan happened. So it should be Mechazik us, you know. How's Hashem going to work this out? You know, he took care of Elio in the Midbar. He took care of Elisha. He took care of the Nevi'im that Ovadia hid. He takes care of things. But there's no Nisan Galuyan nowadays? You're right. Who maneuvered at the Nisan Galuyan? Don't worry. The Omar Kfir Merosha were able, that doesn't mean you shouldn't do things to have a schus, and it doesn't mean you shouldn't do hishtadlus, and it doesn't mean you shouldn't daven. It means you shouldn't worry. That's the only thing he's trying to establish, that when you have bitachon, you are stress-free, and we're talking about the spiritual benefit of being stress-free. It's going to be a physical benefit too, the exact same thing. Because he says the most unhealthy thing in the world is to be stressed, which any doctor will confirm. When I first went to my wound in Gilo, they encouraged me to take painkillers. They said something very interesting. They said people don't want to take painkillers. But I don't know if this is true. I'm just telling you over what they said. They said when you steel yourself against pain, the blood vessels constrict, and it can actually impede the healing. And they'd rather you take a blood vessel so you'll always a painkiller, so you'll be relaxed, but you won't feel the pain. And you'll be relaxed. And that will help in the healing because the blood vessel. That's what they said. I don't know if it's true or not, but that's what they said. So if you have to be tough on, you're always relaxed. I'm not talking about against pain, obviously. Pain is pain. But stress is a spiritual benefit. And he's going to say it's a physical benefit too. Vasheni, number two. The alchemist has to worry about what always exists. When people do things, there are always unintended side effects, unintended consequences. People can't do things bishlamus. Every law a Congress or a Knesset passes has unintended consequences that mess somebody up or people up. I think it's even called like the law of unintended consequences. With people, there's always unintended. With Hashem, so the alchemist, you know, this fumes, he becomes a workaholic. He can be affected by his work. It's gishmak, it's free money, but there are consequences, there's side effects. With Hashem, there are no side effects. It's a very big yisod. Kela muna v'ein avel, tzadik yosher hu. There are no unintended side effects. If someone is nifter, it's not like, okay, there's no collateral damage with Hashem. There's no such thing has to show him as collateral damage. Hashem took everything into cheshbon, and everybody deserves, I shouldn't say deserves, maybe it's too harsh a word, people don't like that word. People were supposed to get what they got, even feelings of pain. It's hard to absorb that. If there's like 10,000 people affected by someone's death, we believe that everyone who felt a twang, a pang of tsa'ar, it was a cheshbon. It's taken into cheshbon. It's not like, okay, it's not collateral damage. No such thing as unintended side effects with Hashem. That's number two. So the alchemist is still nervous, still has to worry about side effects. With Hashem, there are no side effects. You're b'tochon, you're relying on Hashem, covers getting to Yerushalayim on time, and all the totsa'os and ramifications of getting to Yerushalayim at that point in time. It can happen without it. The fumes, the oshlam, the masmodas, the avoda, the orech ha'igir, the hemlaila, the yomam, the hard work. But with that, the kale, the bitcham, the apagoyim, the liba, the dukkum, the horos, there are no side, no collateral damage, no unintended side effects, no unintended consequences, doesn't exist. Hashem has so therefore when you have bitachon and you're relying on Hashem and you're therefore calm, so you're calm about unintended side effects also. There's no such thing with Hashem as unintended side effects. No such thing as collateral damage. And now he gets carried away a little and he starts talking about accepting whatever Hashem throws at you. About Beethoven has a finely tuned sense that everything is from Hashem. That's not what Beethoven is. It's more like Emunah. Beethoven has to rely on Hashem, but you know, Emunah is the tree, Beethoven is the fruit. That's the famous Ramban, and that's certainly the case. So you have Emunah that everything is from Hashem. You put it into action, the fruit. When you have Beethoven, you're relying on Hashem, because everything is from Hashem. So everything from Hashem, unintended side consequences, and not only that, but everything is li'elo l'sasun l'simcha. This is a very difficult thing. We talked about in Shach Cheshvan HaNefesh. But the Lulis once takes the Gemara very literally. Chayimodim l'vorech ala ro'ab, shem shem l'vorech ala tova. The Gemara says to accept it b'simcha, not just to accept it because Hashem is stronger than you and he can beat you up, and there's nothing you can do about it because you can't fight City Hall. So you can't fight Hashem, but the Gemara really says it. You have to be mekabel et b'simcha. You don't see, and it's very hard, especially since we're living in a world that we don't see that it's good. We don't see it. We believe it, but the belief is supposed to be so strong. The Shulchan Aruch, Ochen, but like it's superhuman. Superhuman. But you have to. The Chazal expected of us. They don't expect it of us today, or tomorrow, or yesterday. To work on it. To work on Emunah, to talk on, and understanding. Maybe have to learn Shara Bechina. Right? You know, this is like two Sharm after Shara Bechina. Shara Bechina suffuses you with the idea that everything Hashem does is Tov. So he throws in here, you know, there's no unintended side consequences, but that doesn't mean you're going to get a patch as collateral damage. Not only aren't you going to be stressed about it or worried about it, because it's not a side effect, it's Hashem is on top of everything, but Hashem is on top of every ripple effect, Hashem is on top of it all, but it's l'tov. Not only aren't I stressed about it, but I welcome it, because it was from Hashem, it was supposed to happen, which means it's told. So he wants us to take everything that happens to us, the sasun or the simcha. That is really, really tough. But he talks about this many times throughout the Sefer, especially in Shach Cheshvan HaNefesh. We spent a lot of time on this and how to do it. You know. What's an eitzah and how do you do it? The tirfa bo'el menuch vashka v'shavot mashikot yibana uzdesha yar b'tzeni al menuch osin aleni. So that's number two. And we're going to have to stop here. We're up to number three, and that's what we're going to start from. We leave it there, Mitzvah Hashem, next Sunday. The day after the Gala Malav Malka, that I hope everyone... this is one of the shiurim in the shul. You all have to attend. Oh, you can bring your husbands too. Okay.